All right, next up, our second reading is going to come from pages 84 to 85 of the big book. And we have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol. For by this time, sanity will have returned. We will seldom be interested in liquor. If tempted, we recoil from it as from a hot flame. We react sanely and normally. We will find that this has happened automatically. We will see that our new attitude toward liquor has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. That is the miracle of it. We're not fighting it. Neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we have been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. We have not even sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. We are neither cocky nor are we afraid. That is our experience. That is how we react so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. Chapter 6, Into Action, pages 84 to 85. I would now like to introduce Belinda F. from New Orleans, Louisiana, to share for 15 minutes.
Hi, everybody. I'm Belinda, alcoholic. I was asked to move to the second spot today, but yet... And I love the reading that you read, but I was given the reading for the third spot. So we're going to go with it. How beautiful are the 10-step promises that you just read? It kind of makes my few minutes here today easy. You know, I'm like Brian. Every one of the people who came before me today have been instrumental in my recovery and have been some great examples of the program of Alcoholics Anonymous in Action. You know, Brian mentioned it in the 10th step. You know, in that one paragraph on page 84, it says, four times I got to continue to do this. You know, and he said it clearly, I got to continue to stay awake and watch. And it says, I've got to watch for resentment, selfish, dishonest resentment and fear. You know, because I fall asleep real quick. I rest on my laurels, you know, and I think everything's okay or it's going to be fine. But when I'm staying connected to this program and watching for these things to come up, then I can ask my, you know, there's a prayer in there as well. I learned how to pray out of the book Alcoholics Anonymous. And I like the part in that one chat, that one paragraph where it says we do these things promptly, not tomorrow, not after 2 hours from now, not Thursday. I've got to stay awake to this stuff, watch for it. Because the paragraph that follows the promises, it says it's easy to let up on a spiritual program of action. And that's my experience. And rest on my laurels. I can rest on what I did earlier or yesterday or a week ago. In fact, I did it last night when I went to bed. Went to bed late. I was on this conference for a few hours later than my normal bedtime. And when I went upstairs to go to bed, I certainly didn't do my nightly review. I was like, I've done enough today in AA, right? And so there's the truth. But the cool deal is that it's not something I make a habit of. But what happens when I am resting on my laurels past accomplishment, I get in trouble real, real quick. My attitude and my behaviors and actions are going to express themselves. And usually, kind of like Brian just said, I am asleep to it. I think, again, it's everybody coming at me. It's not. It's coming from me. And then, you know, it also talks about in those couple of paragraphs is I suffer from alcoholism, not alcoholism. And, you know, Mary T. was on here earlier, and I love how she says she's a seasoned beginner. And if she's a seasoned beginner, I mean, I am just a little baby here, you know, in this program. But they taught me by example, authentically and honestly, that I'm not going to do this deal perfectly. You know, I'm reminded often it's not an intellectual process, it's a spiritual process. So I've got to continue to watch and try to stay awake to my selfish, dishonest resentment and fear. But the only, like for me, it kind of comes in the form of, ugh. You know, I just get that little, ugh, or somebody says something or does something that is outside of my value system, and I'm not liking it. But when I'm continuing to watch for these things, sometimes slowly, but when I do become awake to them, I can ask myself those questions. And then I can pray at once and ask God to remove those things from me, because I can't wish those things away any more than alcohol. And so not only those 10-step promises, they didn't just come true for me the first time I worked the steps. They can continue to come true for me on a regular basis. It's not just about cease fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol, right? I mean, yes, it's that. but also currently it's when I get right with God and I try to stay awake and aware to this deal, I cease fighting everything. It's almost like I'm reeled back in. I can get to a place of peace and go, all right, God, all right. Because further down in that area, it says, you know, and it says it so many times in the book, thy will, not mine, be done. Thy mind be done. But once I examine and look at myself and go to God, there's a shift within me, right? Now, sometimes I stomp my feet like a two-year-old. And trust me, every person that went before me today, oh, they know, they really know that's the truth about me. But I'm so grateful that, you know, when these things crop up and when the dishonesty comes up, I'm able to talk to someone so they can even currently on a daily basis, if I need, help me see whatever I got going on, it's probably coming from a place of fear. And they can help me see it from an entirely different angle, right? So, I mean, like, I love, because if I'm going to try to start doing God's will instead of my will, and what does that look like? I mean, I love what I heard a long time ago. What does that look like? Basically, it's love, love, love. And I don't know what that looks like either. But if I stay connected to the power by staying unblocked of all this resentment and fear and my conduct and dishonesty, if I stay connected and keep going within, right, to figure out what's really going on and keep going to the power to relieve me of that, then I'm unblocked. Like Brian said, I use that same analogy a lot of times. Those things are like bricks around my life, and I'm blocking myself from God. But what I believe today, now, whatever I say today, my truth might change tomorrow. And that has happened throughout my recovery. But what I believe today is that those blocks, that selfish, dishonest, resentment, and fear, it's not necessarily blocking me from you. It is, but it's blocking the God of my understanding from working in and through me so that God's love can express himself through me to you. God's forgiveness, God's comfort, God's understanding, all of that, because I believe what the book says is lack of power is my dilemma. I have to find a power by which I can live. And so in order to do that, I've got to stay connected. And I know, like I was told today, we're supposed to kind of stick on that topic of what was read, but I it's hard to say doing that without like what we're talking about and the rest of the steps, but the nightly review to continue, because I fall asleep quick throughout my day and I don't even know I've got this stuff going on. And then all of a sudden, when I sit there and get quiet with the God of my understanding again, more is revealed. And I can ask myself a lot of questions in the nightly review. And I love that prayer in there because it says we ask God's forgiveness and what corrective measures we can take, what I can take. And then I bring that into On Awakening. And then with On Awakening, there's so much work within there. Because if I get quiet, I've got to be able to get quiet so I can hear the still small voice within, so that I can fit myself to be of maximum service to God and my fellows. Because that's what I'm here for, is to fit myself to be of maximum service to God and my fellows. But not in the way I think. It's the way I try to be led by God and not driven by that fear and self-delusion and self-pity. I'm glad Brian mentioned that deal meditation. I get it a lot, and I think I was a little against it at first too. But I hear a lot of people say, I can't slow my mind down enough to meditate. And then I always just... one of the simplest ones is just sit quietly and breathe in God or breathe in love and breathe out fear. And through that process, I had an experience so that I can have what the book calls that vital sixth sense, that experience of trying to form a relationship with a God of my understanding or a God of my experience. All sorts of remarkable things happen. And those 10-step promises, I love those promises way more than probably any of the others. I can't see the time because my screen went blank, but we're going to go with I'm about up for now. So thank y'all very much for having me.
Thank you, Belinda. Let's see.